I twirled it overhead and brought it down on his limbs, severing them in a smear of ichor. The black flesh tore at me, trying to pull through my ribs and into my heart. If I had not had the power of the old ones coursing through me, I would have died instantly. I grabbed the slippery tentacle with one hand and tugged the cursed one toward me. I slammed the spike of the axe forward, driving it between the crimson eyes. The scream echoed inside my skull. He may have been immune to all normal weapons, but there was nothing normal about his family's battle axe. He pulled away, knowing fear for the first time in centuries. I followed him, driven forward in a berserk frenzy. I brought the axe down, chopping, hacking, and stabbing against the withering mass. Overhead, the black sphere was growing, now filling the whole center space of the world. I drove the cursed one back until he balanced precariously at the edge of the pyramid. I swung the blade up, tearing through the face, striking the ancient bone beneath, and launching the helmet into the air. It disappeared upwards, engulfed in the maelstrom of the artifact. The cursed one was defeated. Limbs severed, fluids pouring out, shattered skull dangling, he stood on the edge. In the distance, the walls of the world were shaking. The created dimension had come loose from its anchor, and we floated just above the surface of Alabama. The ground behind the cursed one faded away, trees and rocks dropping toward the earth below as the created world began to disintegrate. The armored breastplate was a target. It beckoned me. I was sure in my knowledge that the organ keeping the unnatural thing alive was beneath. I could feel it beating.
"How can this be? It was mine. Mine to control. You have taken it from me. I have been betrayed."
"Boy, stop, please. Control your anger. You know now who you are. This is not way to finish this. This is what she wants. This is what old ones want."
"Spare me, please."
The blade impacted the ancient armor and easily pierced through. The pump that served as Lord Machado's heart was cleaved in two. I tore the axe free. An explosion of gas and liquid erupted out of the hole in the armor, spraying me in the face. I gagged as some of the stuff entered my mouth. Lord Machado toppled and rolled down a level, landing in an oily clump. Some of his blood drifted upward, caught in the pull of the artifact. The droplets disappeared into the mighty sphere.
"No! What have you done?"
Mordecai cried.
"You doom us all!"
The words of Earl Harbinger. "Hunters can't lose control. Got that? You never lose control." I had said it to Trip myself the night he had talked me out of quitting. When I get mad, when I lose control, people get hurt. I was the one. I tasted the foul blood in my mouth just as Lord Machado had tasted the copper in his own 500 years before. What had I done?
"The sacrifice is now complete," Corinneha said, her voice now clear.
I spun around, axe in hand. The priestess stood at the opposite end of the pyramid. One black arm encircled Julie's neck. A ceremonial dagger was pressed into her throat, unleashing a thin trickle of blood. I began to move forward, but the priestess pressed the knife harder and Julie cried out.
"That will be enough, Hunter," she said.
The power of the old ones evaporated from my body. Suddenly I was dizzy and weak. Stumbling, I went to my knees, feeling empty without the power.
"You've had your taste.
Let her go,
I ordered. Julie was frightened, but angry. She fought against the priestess. Her chains had been broken, but she could not break free of Corinna's steel grasp. The priestess was still a patch of oily darkness, but her features had changed to the point that she almost looked exactly like she had in the memory. The red eyes had been replaced with the cunning human eyes that I remembered. She was looking at something behind me. There was a bellow, sounding even over the hurricane above, the battle cry of an unstoppable force. I turned just in time to see Abomination's blade tearing toward my throat. There was no way I would be able to move in time. Corinna's eyes fixed on the bayonet. It stopped instantly, the edge pressed into the flesh above my jugular. Abomination vibrated. The silver blade dissipated friction heat from the sudden stop into my skin. The tattooed man looked at me, pitch black eyes wide in surprise, then down at the shotgun in his thick fists, then at the priestess. She glared at him, and suddenly he was slammed backwards as if hit by a truck. He rolled across the pyramid, instantly springing to his feet near the vampire's now skeletal corpse. Thrall lifted my shotgun, the skull image on his face twisting into grim determination. The black lines on his body moved in unison with the crackling energy above. He began to walk toward me.
"What took you so long?"
the priestess asked nonchalantly.
"'Twas a mighty werewolf about. There was a great battle to gain entrance to this foul place. Who art thou?"
She laughed. Julie cringed as the knife twisted against her neck.
"Do you not remember me, Captain Thrall? It was I who led your general to his fate."
"Thou evil thing! I took thy life once. I shall do so again."
Thrall's voice raised in volume and intensity. He changed direction away from me, now heading toward the priestess.
"Thou stole the artifact from my hands. Thy minions left me buried beneath a mountain, but I will not die. I have vowed to keep the power from all. I have vowed upon the spirits of my Jarl ancestors. I have—"
Corinna's eyes narrowed, and the tattooed man was again hurled through the air.
"Fool, I tire of you. Your use to us has ended,"
she hissed. He landed with a sickening thump. Abomination bounced out of his hands.
"We needed you then. We needed a protector for the Kumaresh Yar, but no longer. Lord Mashado had to work for it. He needed a nemesis. We could not just give him the artifact before the time was right. Thank you for your services, good captain."
Thrall surged to his feet. He must have retrieved all of my weapons from the snow. He drew both of my 45s from behind his back and pointed them at the priestess, fingers seeking triggers. The priestess pushed them aside with a thought. Bullets struck the pyramid and ricocheted harmlessly into the distance. The STIs were torn from his massive hands and sent spinning away. The unkillable man charged her with a roar. For 500 years he had protected the device from any mortal who would dare to unlock its powers. He had sacrificed his life, always in hiding, constantly in battle, always struggling to protect the object from the minions of the Cursed One. It had been stolen once before with the help of the Nazis, and he had regained it. It had been stolen from him again by the hands of 7 masters. He was here to get it back, and destroy any who thought to use it. He was the Guardian. But the Old Ones no longer required his services.
He stumbled to a halt, clutching at his face in alarm.
"What foul sorcery is this?"
he bellowed, and then roared in pain as the twisting magic tattoos were ripped from his body, taking parts of his flesh with them.
"No!"
He gnashed his teeth together in agony as his skin was torn off. The black curling lines snaked upwards, crackling into the black sphere, returning to their home. His clothing rustled as the blood-stained lines searched for an escape, poured through the fabric, leaving it clinging to the now blood-soaked form. He went to his knees, twisting and convulsing, as he was peeled like a piece of fruit. I had to look away. I had never seen anything so horrible. He fell onto his face, now all visible sinew and twitching muscle, barely conscious in a spreading pool of red.
"It must hurt, to be immortal and to be branded with such glory, immune from age, sickness, death."
Corinna appeared to be enjoying his suffering.
"Only to have it all stripped away."
"What art thou?"
Thrall gasped through his gash of a mouth, white teeth glistening in the pulped mass. The black had been torn from his eyes, and the things were now huge, milky orbs, quickly covered in blood. Eyelids gone, he could no longer blink it away.
"I have been known by many names. You knew me as Corinna, but that was just a part to play. Oh, how I tired of that act, fawning over your Lord Mashado. He should have been the one, but he lacked the will. I have lived a thousand lives. I have trespassed upon this world since the beginning. I am unwelcome, uninvited. Oh, mighty captain, your people knew me as Asgaroth. The tribes that conquered your people thought of me as hell."
She turned to glare at me, her oil-slick face dripping onto Julie's hair.
"I am a thing of legend. To your mentor, the ghost, to his people, I was Lilith, though they have the story all wrong. To the nation that carried them away into captivity, I was Zaltu, daughter of Tiamat. Temples have been built in my honor across this world, all forgotten now. I am a false god in your pathetic mortal pantheon. You sad apes have made idols of me for 10,000 years. I have waited patiently while you fools were sacrificing slaves and forming cults in my name. But who I am is not important. All you must know is that I am the one who prepares the way for the return of the great..."
She hissed an impossible sound that hit my brain like a sledgehammer. Julie cried out in pain and tried to lift her hands to cover her ears. The name of her master left me nauseous and stupefied.
"Do you understand now? In your visions I was not speaking with that fool, Mashado. I was speaking to you. You are the one. Infinite power is at your fingertips. You are the rightful ruler of this world. You are destined to be a prince of..."
The impossible sound again. I clamped my hands over my ears. Julie screamed.
"Use your will to unlock it. All you have to do is wish for it."
She glanced upwards at the roaring sphere.
"Do it now, or I will kill your love."
She pressed the tip of the knife in deeper. Julie cringed. I understood now. Understood more than the priestess thought I did. I knew what was waiting on the other side of that gate. They could not exist in a plane like ours. They were outside time. They needed the fabric of the universe twisted into their image, and that was something that they were not able to do on their own. If I were but to will the sphere to open, then the old ones would descend on this world to rule. It was a trick. It was all a trick. Lord Machado had just been a pawn, a man used and broken by them to lead events to this moment. A pawn like me.
"Don't do it, Owen! Let her kill me!"
Julie shouted. Corinna Ha tightened her arm around her hostage's throat. Julie was undeterred.
"Do it, you whore! I dare you!"
"I won't open that gate."
"That is up to you. You are the one. The one prophesied by the great ruler itself. You can control time and matter. You have been tested before, and you have proven yourself ready. Now all that remains is for you to satisfy the rest of the prophecy."
The last lines appeared glowing in my mind. Obsidian chips, flying, axe, madly descending. Only he will have the will and the power, through his love of another, to break time and the world. The final part of the prophecy disappeared in a shower of shards and dust. Corinna Ha drove the knife home. Julie's eyes widened in shock. Her mouth opened, but no sound came out. Her eyes met mine, conveying pain, pleading for help that I could not give.
"No!"
I screamed, charging forward, axe held high. The priestess relaxed her grip and let Julie fall. She went slowly to her knees, her hands rising to her neck, futilely trying to stem the tide of blood. It slipped through her fingers, showering down her arms. Her life was pumping out. My world died. I hurled the axe, sending it hurtling end over end. Corinna Ha did not move as it sped toward her face. The axe froze in mid-air, and then fell uselessly down. She glared at me, and the power of her mind knocked me to the ground. I rose, only to be smacked down again, and then a third time. This time she put me into the pyramid hard enough to crack the ivory blocks. I clawed my way forward, trying to reach Julie. The priestess let me. She stood, waiting impatiently, her sleek black form still dripping. She glanced up at the rift like a human would glance at a wristwatch.
"Hurry this up, Hunter."
I pulled Julie into my arms. I sobbed. Her hands fell away from her neck as she slipped into unconsciousness. The wound was still spurting, but it was weak now. I pressed my fingers into the gash and tried to clamp the artery shut. It was too slippery. I could not lose her. Not like this.
"For love, human. The last piece of the puzzle. Your pathetic, weak little instinct. It is the one thing that your kind can experience sufficient to power the Kumarish Yar. Your hate is almost enough, but not quite."
The black sphere crackled above her. I could see things moving inside, pushing, anxious to begin the invasion.
"You can save her. You have the power. All you have to do is call upon it. You have the will. All you have to do is wish for your birthright, and it will be yours. Your female will live. You can serve the old ones. She will be given to you. They will show mercy upon you. Those that you love, she spit the word out in distaste, will be spared and allowed to live forever. You and yours will prosper for eternity. Your every desire will be granted. All you have to do is wish for it.
I held Julie in my arms and rocked back and forth. I knew that she was telling the truth. All I had to do to save her was to will it to happen. She would live. I would be granted power beyond my wildest dreams. Julie would live forever at my side.
Make your choice quickly. It does not matter to me.
Know this. Our coming is inevitable.
If we fail tonight, we will return and try again, as we have tried before. Eventually, one of you mammals will make the right choice. It might as well be you. If you make the wrong choice, then I will bind your soul to the Kumaresh Yar so that you can suffer for eternity. Let me give you a little idea of what that will hold.
Pain so exquisite that I cannot explain. Suffering stretching on for infinity. Black, icy solitude racked forever with hurt so great that there were not words for it in any language. The split second that she exposed me gave me a window into the unfathomable horror of it.
And not just for you. Your love will share your fate.
Julie convulsed as her unconscious mind was exposed to the horror.
Make your choice. Free her or condemn her.
I held Julie and cried. I could not fight Corinna. She could kill me with her thoughts. There were two paths before me. If I refused her, then Julie and I would be banished to an eternity of pain. If I did as she said, if I made the selfish choice, then everything I had ever wanted would be given to me. No more pain, no more suffering. The incredible feeling that I had possessed moments before would be mine forever. I could see myself doing it, Julie by my side. The old one's coming seemed inevitable anyway. Why not? Julie's life was draining out while I hesitated. I would be king, and she would be my queen. I would be king of a dead world. I've made my choice. Corinna sighed, slowly shaking her head.
You fool, human. I can see it in your eyes. 500 more years on this stinking rock, having peasants sacrifice chickens to little statues of me.
Damn you. Your punishment will be the stuff of legends. She focused in on Julie and me, drawing together the energy to cast us both into the black sphere.
Insolent little air breather.
I had to try something. I could not just let her condemn us without a fight. If only I could access the power just enough to fight her and save Julie. I had controlled time once before. Maybe I was strong enough to hold back the old ones.
Yes, you are the strongest one yet. You can control it,
Corinna whispered.
I feel your mighty will. Surely you can do it.
Maybe I could. Maybe I had a third option. I had defeated every other monster that this world had thrown at me. I could defeat these as well. Corinna licked her oily lips in anticipation. The sphere above her roared, huge now, a world of its own, blotting out the storm-drenched Alabama sky. We stood at the intersection point
between two spheres. When they connected, a new world would be born. I stopped, realizing what I was about to do. The old man had warned me about this, only I had been too ignorant to understand.
Good, but sometimes stupid. Brave, but proud. Too proud for own good. If not more careful, pride will kill you and blow up world. Think you can solve problems, but no patience to learn. Want to do things. Do things now.
That was what she wanted. She wanted me to fight. The old ones would eat my soul for breakfast. She waited for my move, so intent on subverting my will and destroying me the instant that I unlocked the gate, that she did not see the tentacles slither past her feet and slowly wrap around the battle axe and drag it away. I can beat you, I lied.
We shall see.
Betrayer!
The axe blade exploded from out of Corinna's chest. She shrieked in rage. The broken Lord Machado rose behind her, encircling his tentacles around her form, lifting her upward and tearing the blade free. He slammed it into her again. I lifted Julie in my arms and carried her away as they battled. Lord Machado hoisted Corinna over his shattered skull, the black tissues of both creatures separating and tearing up into the sphere, drawn irresistibly home. The energy pulsed and surged. Growing larger by the second, the wall approached us, shapes twisting and clawing at the other side. My boots slipped in the puddle of blood from Thra. We landed next to him. He was still, and his lidless orbs stared into the distance. I began to lift Julie. We were too close to the whipping tentacles, and without the power of the old ones upon me, one furious strike would be certain death. I heaved her up into my arms. Suddenly a red hand grasped my wrist.
Wait!
Thrall croaked through his lipless mouth. I struggled to hear him over the storm.
Was wrong. Thou truly art a warrior without guile.
His grasp was still amazingly powerful as he pulled me closer.
So much death. I give thee back one life.
He held up his other fist. Squirming between the muscle of his clenched fingers was a tiny bit of black energy, the last vestige of his unnatural immortality. It struggled to escape. He opened his hand and pushed it against Julie's neck. She gasped, her eyes suddenly flared open, then she passed back out. The ancient captain uttered one last thing.
Until Ragnarok, my friend.
The hand fell limply away. The last bit of power flew home like a bolt. I turned Julie's head. It was a blood-soaked mess, but I could no longer see the entrance wound. Thrall's lungs rattled as he gave up the ghost.
See you in Valhalla, I whispered.
The sphere was only a few feet over the pyramid now. It blotted out the sky in its terrible majesty. Lord Machado and Corinna still battled, more and more of their ichor being stripped away by the second, leaving only filthy bones and angry souls.
Machado, I curse you!
Corinna's skull screamed as her face was torn off.
Curse you!
She struggled in his tentacles as he forced her toward the sphere.
Too late for curses, my love.
He thrust her body upwards. She broke the surface of the rift. The last bits of alien tissue were stripped away.
Her skeleton quivered, and then exploded, the winds whipping bones about like missiles, snapping out into the forest and embedding into the trees. A jagged femur pierced the ivory next to my head. Lord Machado's voice screamed inside my brain. His limbs were extended into the rift. It was a fatal connection. His flesh was stripped, withering, disappearing into the maelstrom. I covered my eyes as the black light began to sear my retinas. There was a roar, followed by a wet explosion, a concussion of sound and fury. Bits of the Cursed One splattered across the pyramid, showering us in gore. And then all was quiet. I opened my eyes. The sphere was gone. The night sky was bright and clear, and I was lying on a pyramid in the middle of a little forest valley, which appeared to be floating unsupported several hundred feet above rural Alabama. Julie was breathing, though it was shallow and her pulse was weak. Her wound was closed, sealed by Thrall in a final act of mercy. I stood up. Amazingly enough, I felt fine. No broken bones, no blindness, no shattered eardrum. The breeze was natural and clean. The moon was descending over millions of stars. It was beautiful. Something moved from where the Cursed One had last stood. "Oh, give me a break," I muttered. I looked around for weapons. I found both of my pistols, put the thumb safeties on, and shoved them in my waistband. Abomination was still where Thrall had dropped it. Empty, but it still had a good bayonet. I walked toward the shape that was moaning in the pile of burnt garbage that had been my enemy. I held the shotgun like a spear, silver blade extended. Kicking aside the charred mess, I searched for the movement. The remainder of Lord Machado's body had turned to ash and was slowly blowing away in the wind. I saw small glints of the armored breastplate sticking out from under the cinders. It rocked slightly. I readied myself. Slowly, shakily, a person emerged from the remains. He was a short man, and his features were hard to distinguish beneath the soot. He was naked except for the remaining armor and a few tatters of the once opulent robe. He struggled weakly to his hands and knees, a tiny creature amongst the ruins of his former body. I waited. He spoke slowly, not used to forming words. The medieval Portuguese was still very familiar in my mind. "The curse is lifted. I am a man again. Human, at last." "Yep." He looked at his hands in wonder, brushed the ash away from his skin. He began to cry, tears rolling down the soot. 500 years of torment. I am free. You have freed me from my curse. Somehow it is broken." I tied Abomination's tattered strap over one shoulder and drew the full-size 45 from my waistband. The click of the safety was eerily loud. I carefully put the front sight in place and placed my finger on the face of the trigger. He looked up at me warily. But I have been redeemed. I'm not in the redemption business." Boom! A hole appeared in his forehead. The silver bullet mushroomed perfectly through his brain tissue and ruptured out the back of his skull in a spray of red and white. The single brass case bounced on the ground. A thin line of blood fell from the entrance wound. Lord Machado's eyes rolled slowly back into his head, and he flopped into the ash. I kept the gun on him. His leg kicked spasmodically a few times. There was no magic. He was not coming back. Lord Machado was dead. I slowly lowered the gun to my side. It was over. The pyramid shook violently. I stumbled, but somehow managed to stay upright. In the distance, the edges of the little valley began to disintegrate, collapsing as the unnatural force that sustained the pocket dimension began to dissipate. Trees dropped through the ground, disappearing in showers of dirt and snow. Gravity was a jealous bitch. I sprinted for Julie. I lifted her into my arms and looked around. The spot where we had entered the little world was gone. The portal was no longer there. The rocks that had supported it were now plummeting hundreds of feet to the earth below. It was shrinking fast, and the ground was falling away, forming a boundary that was heading quickly for the ivory pyramid. If only I had a parachute. Hell, I didn't even have a shirt. I might as well have wished for a rocket pack. I wasn't exactly James Bond here. We were going to die. The artificial ground was gone now. Only the ruins remained. My footing slipped as the pyramid began to shift wildly, the last vestiges of ancient magic fleeing. The structure dropped for what seemed an eternity, only to slam to a halt, shiver and quake, and then drop again. This halt was especially violent, and I knew that it was our last. Blocks of ivory broke away, cracking and slipping into the darkness. We only had seconds left before this whole thing fell apart and we were dumped into the air. Something clanged against the ivory, bounced a few times, and then stopped. The artifact! The pyramid jolted again and it slid toward the edge. I started after it. If I could reach it, I could use it to get us out of here. I surged forward, one hand holding Julie's limp form tight, the other grasping for the little stone box. My fingers stopped an inch from the artifact. I froze. Nice try, you evil bitch. Corinna's voice echoed through the night air.
Pity. Now I have to put up with 5 more centuries on this shitty planet.
Her spirit drifted away on the winds and was gone. With a groan, the pyramid began its final disintegration. A seam split open between my feet. The artifact slid over the edge and disappeared. The corpses fell away. The last blocks began to plummet, hurtling toward the ground. The top tier was all that remained, and we began to fall. It was a sickening feeling. Air rushed past my ears, deafening me. This was it. Blinding light. What the hell? The spotlight veered away, and something metallic clanged against the ivory. In the split second before the block beneath my feet dropped, I realized it was a chain ladder. I extended one hand and grabbed it. My foothold was gone. I held onto the rung with all of my strength. Julie and I fell. My arm wrenched painfully in its socket. My fingers popped. I cried out in pain as I struggled to hold on. I kicked my legs wildly, panicking, trying to get one foot on the rung. The hind jerked wildly above as Skippy tried to get us safely to the ground. It had been an amazing feat of piloting. The clumsy Russian chopper was not known for its precise handling, yet he had managed to match speed with the dropping pyramid long enough to snag us. I clamped Julie's unconscious body tight against my chest. She threatened to slip away. I could feel the rung trying to pull out of my hand. Instinct told me to drop her and use my other hand to hold on. Screw instinct. My hand was on fire, but I held on. We were losing altitude quickly. I tried to get a foot through another rung, but the ladder was whipping wildly in the wind. Finally, by some miracle, I was able to get the toes of my boot through the chain to brace myself. I held on for dear life. Ground. Blessed ground. It came up frighteningly fast. Skippy flared the chopper upward, slowing us at the last possible instant. Almost gently he lowered us until the ladder was dragging in the grass. I hopped off, covering my eyes as the blades tore up a mighty cloud of debris. Hunters moved quickly from the woods, swarming toward us. I waved happily. I had no idea what was going on down here, but the cursed one was dead. The old one's plan had been foiled. No matter what, we had won. I was briefly illuminated in the spotlight of the hind as it quickly banked up and away. I grinned like an idiot and gave everybody a thumbs up. The final rung of the ladder struck me violently in the back of the head. The last thing I remembered was a bunch of flashlights shining in my eyes and somebody hollering for a medic. Chapter 28. I had to be dreaming. Either that, or I was dead. The field stretched as far as the eye could see. It was the same unnaturally beautiful place where I had first met the old man. Only now, the sky was clear. The storm had passed. The crops that had resisted the winds had survived. Their roots had been anchored deep. Now, watered and tested, they would be much stronger than before. I felt the moisture under my bare feet. It was a peaceful place.
"Hello, boy."
I turned around. The accent was familiar, but the voice was wrong. It was far too young and happy.
"Mordecai? You look surprised to be seeing me, you do."
He grinned. I suppose I couldn't call him the old man anymore. I still recognized him, but instead of being arthritic and frail, he was in the prime of his life. Young, handsome, and strong. Probably what he looked like when he had first started hunting. He was not even wearing glasses.
"You're alive?" "No. I'm still dead, of course, but no longer stuck. You killed the cursed one. Prison was opened. Now, free I am to go."
"Go where?"
"I not know. I have not been to next place before. I've been stuck for a long time."
"What do you know about it?" It could not hurt to ask.
"My friend, you find out that for your own self someday."
He held out his hand to shake. I pushed his hand aside and engulfed him in a bear hug. I easily picked him up and squeezed.
"Ugh! Easy, boy! Respect your elders!"
I put him down. "Thanks for everything," I said. "Sorry about your cane."
"I not need it any more now."
He quickly stomped his feet to demonstrate.
"It's better used up killing Nazi bastard son of bitch. No, I thank you. Free because you did good. Though for second I thought we were, how you say, screwed. But heart was good and made right choice. I thank you. In fact, many others want also to thank." What do you mean?
He nodded his head off to the side. There was a crowd of people assembled who had not been there before. Men and women, all of them young and fit and strong, much like Mordecai. They were all of different races and were dressed in many styles of clothing. Robes, furs, silks, even mail armor. A tall man with a curled Babylonian beard saluted me with his bow. The others followed suit, one by one, raising their spears, swords, axes, a musket. I recognized one of the men. He had been the Brazilian hunter sacrificed by Lord Machado in the memory. He raised his obsidian-tipped club overhead and gave me a nod of approval. There have always been monsters, and as long as there are monsters, there will be some who dare to hunt them. These were my people. I bowed to the ancient hunters. One by one, they began to walk away. Slowly, they became transparent and began to fade. Within a moment, they were all gone. The sacrifices were free.
Prison is broken, so now they go. Only one of us could break away to contact the one from prophecy. I got to be the one to teach you, because mine was the best English speaker.
He sighed contentedly.
Sorry I could just not tell you who you were, but it was not allowed. Only some things I could see, others I could say. Rules were different. But he's all good now. For me, work is done.
Mordecai patted me tenderly on the shoulder.
You probably should be waking up now.
He turned and began to walk quickly through the crop, running his hands through the rain droplets clinging to the leaves.
Wait, what do I do now? Is it over?
He paused and looked up, as if he was enjoying the sun.
My friend, you still have much work to do. You still have calling. Short straw you have drawn, and you're not done until you end up like us. What to do now? Hunt monsters, of course. For you, it's never over.
I raised my hand and waved. Thanks, Mordecai. Without you, we would have lost. The whole world would have lost.
Thanks. Silly boy. Wake up now. Pretty girl is waiting for you. Be nice to her. Is brave and shoots very good.
He winked.
Not find a girl like that very often. Goodbye, friend.
He walked away with a spring in his step, ready to embark on his final adventure. Mordecai Barica had been one of the greatest hunters of his day. He had risked all to stop the storm. He had been my mentor and my friend. He turned one final time to grin at me, eyes twinkling, excited to continue on. He faded from sight and disappeared.
"Hey, guys, Z's awake," said a voice. "Dude, you've got to be the clumsiest, most accident-prone oaf I've ever known. I'm amazed you've lived this long."
"Trip?" I asked, trying to rise up so I could look around. My head ached, and I did not need to touch the back of my skull to know that there was a huge lump.
"You're alive?"
"Can't kill a brother that easy."
He laughed and began to cough. His armor had been cut away, and bandages encircled his chest and most of his head. One leg was propped up and had been tied to a splint. We were lying on blankets, set under the shade of a tree. The morning sun was rising in the distance. Several other wounded hunters were also resting here.
"No thanks to Holly," he joked. "Shut up, Dick," Holly said from the other side. "It was a good idea at the time."
She was kneeling next to an unconscious hunter that I did not know, and applying a clean bandage to his arm. She appeared to be fine.
Besides, one little hit on the head and you sleep through the whole battle, while me, Sam, and Milo get to kill like 500,000 whites.
I'm just lucky that kudzu broke my fall, he mumbled. Sam and Milo are okay? I asked. I slowly sat up. I was awfully woozy.
Yeah, but the worst injured have been evacuated to the nearest hospital. We'll be talking everybody else there in a few minutes. Sam got busted up. At the end, he was killing whites with his teeth since everything else was paralyzed. And Milo? After his little light show against Julie's mom, they're calling him Saint Milo now. Told you not to make fun of religious folks, Tripp said.
Julie?
Fine. She's wandering around here somewhere.
Lee? The last I had seen, he had been hit pretty bad.
He's going to live, but he's probably going to lose his leg. Gretchen did her best, but she wasn't sure.
She sounded sad.
He was one of the lucky ones.
Who else? I asked. The others grew somber.
We lost 15 hunters. We have another couple that are critical and might not make it. And then we have about 20 wounded. Once the Masters closed the distance, it got ugly. I guess they finally used the wargs to quickly evacuate everybody out of one side of the valley so they could bomb the hell out of it. Then they concentrated on the last vamp.
Are they all destroyed?
According to Julie, you killed the Germans, so we got 6 out of the 7,
Tripp answered. Let me guess. It was too much to hope. Susan?
Yep. My mom got away,
Julie said. She appeared in front of me, hands on her hips. Surprisingly, she looked fine. A little pale, but fine nonetheless. Not bad, considering that I had watched her throat get cut only a few hours before. She extended her hand to me. I took it, and she did her best to pull me up, but failed miserably. I pulled her down with me. Despite the news of her mother, she laughed when she hit the ground.
I'm glad to see you're okay, I said.
Yeah, and you have some explaining to do. How the hell am I even alive? The last thing I remember is the pain, and then I started losing blood, and I was out. I woke up down here.
Thrall saved your life. The last little bit of evil magic he had on his body, he gave to you. He held it on the side of your neck, and then it flew away.
That would explain this.
She brushed her hair aside. The side of her throat was still red and tender, but there was now a thick black line across the side, almost like a tattoo.
I'm not really into the whole body art thing, you know.
Does it hurt? I asked.
Not really.
Does it feel evil?
Not that I can tell. If I get the sudden urge to drown a bag of kittens, I'll let you know.
Well, let's not knock it, then. I moved in for a kiss.
Slow down. You've got cursed one and vampire blood all over your face. No offense, but I'm not kissing that.
Holly, canteen. I snapped my fingers. This is a medical emergency.
Going to have a medical emergency when I shoot your ass, she answered as she tossed me a canteen.
I unscrewed the lid and poured the cool water down my face. It felt good to scrub off the disgusting dried mess. I wiped my face on my arm. Okay, now I'm kissable.
Whoa.
Julie's eyes betrayed her shock. Holly leaned over to see.
Holy shit!
I raised my hands to my face. What was so surprising?
What? Let me see,
Tripp said. My skin was smooth. It felt normal. Too normal. My scars were gone. The thick ridge of tissue that had stretched from the top of my head to the side of my nose was gone. I poured some of the water on my chest. All of the scars from my battle with the werewolf Huffman had disappeared. The still-healing road rash on my arms was gone. I probed my molars with my tongue. The missing teeth had returned. My body had been totally repaired. The old ones. When they fixed me so that I could fight and sacrifice Lord Machado, I did not know what to say. I had grown used to the scars and injuries. They were all fixed. It was amazing.
Wow. It's like an ancient evil ultimate makeover, Holly said.
Julie caressed the side of my face, then she leaned in and kissed me passionately. Her lips were soft, and it felt good to be alive. Thankfully, the others refrained from any snide comments. When we had come up for air, I had to ask. I thought chicks dig scars.
Right now, I could care less. I'm just glad we're still alive.
Me too. We cleared out the rest of the wounded. Between the chaos of the mighty storm and the undead inflicted carnage across the state, most of the hospitals from here to Birmingham were working around the clock. We still had a lot of cleaning up to do. But for today, MHI was done. Gretchen had ridden up on the back of a mighty warg. She had taken one look at the back of my head and pronounced me something incomprehensible. I did not know if it was good or bad, but the other orcs had laughed at me, so I took that to be a good thing. Harbinger was still missing, so Julie and her grandfather had effectively taken control of the chaos. Her brother Nate stood protectively nearby. I barely knew the kid, but he was not going to let any of his remaining family out of his sight. I could respect that. Once the wounded were safely gone, the rest of the gear was packed into the surviving vehicles, and then finally the dead. It was a somber duty, but we were not going to leave our dead in the hands of the local authorities. I helped to lift one of the shrouded bodies into the back of a van. It was Chuck Mead. He had fought hard and died bravely. But in the end, even the bravest of us would eventually buy it. We had trained together, and I was going to miss the big, simple ranger. He had been a good man. Priest said prayers over the bodies of our fallen. He stepped around the corpses, one arm coated in dried blood and slung to his chest. He ignored it. He had work to do. Our comrades would be taken back to the compound where we could perform a proper hunter's funeral. It was grisly business, but in our line of work, having your friends cut your head off was the final sign of respect.
It seems bad, but considering what we were up against, the senior Shackelford stated. We did good. We did very good.
Grandpa, has anyone seen Earl since last night? Julie asked.
Afraid not, dear, he answered quietly. Some of Van Zant's boys saw him go past the mortar emplacement after he killed that master. They said he looked mighty tore up. He was heading into the woods.
I hope he's okay, she said softly.
I was sorry to intrude on the family moment, but I had to know. So Earl's a werewolf. I mean, I'm cool with that. It isn't the first time I've had a werewolf boss, you know.
Yes, he's a werewolf, the boss answered, using his hook to tap me on the chest for emphasis.
and that information doesn't go outside of MHI. When that bastard Myers quit and joined the feds, they found out about him, and he had all manner of trouble. The feds wanted to kill him.
And it was only through